Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Lounge. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. Come in, come in, come in. I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome, especially to the newcomers to this lounge. This is the place where you get to turn your vibe on, where you get to turn your vision on, your intention, your beliefs, and your expectation in a way that will serve you. Yes, it's an acronym. Vibe stands for vision, intention, belief, and expectation. And of course, it's short for the word vibration, because when you change these attributes for the positive, you will increase your vibration, you will increase the frequency at which you vibrate, and you will attract all good things to you. Because when you're in a low place, when you're thinking negatively, when you're thinking in a way that makes you feel bad, then you're vibrating at a very low frequency. And so that's why I have created this lounge, to show you how to increase your vibe and to understand the impact that it has on the world that you create around you, the way that you feel, the way that you vibrate. So, like I always like to ask, I want you to ask yourself, what do I want? The reason for that is that when you focus on that question, it causes your mind to focus on what you want. And often what you want, right, is something that makes you feel good. I would like to think that that is the case. So, hand on heart, ask yourself, what do I want? So that you can now start to attract that based on the feeling that you emanate based on that question. Now, this morning I woke up and in my head popped the word judgment. You know, when you go to bed at night, it's very important that you reflect on any questions that are outstanding for the day. And what I do is I put the questions out there in a form of a prayer or just simply a question before I go to bed, because your subconscious mind is infinite intelligence. It's connected to all things. And in the morning, what I find is that the answer will float up to me. So what came to me this morning was the word judgment. Judgment. Who are you judging today? Who are you judging today? Now, when you think about the word judgment, when you think about the word in the Bible, when there was going to be a stoning, and Jesus said, "You who are among you, that is without sin, cast ye the first stone." They were about to stone this woman. And at that moment, that statement made them pause. It's interesting, isn't it? It made them pause, because they had to self-reflect in order to determine their next move. They had to look within themselves and think, am I clean? Is my heart totally clean? That I have the right to throw a stone at this person? Think about it. How can you judge someone if you yourself have that thing inside of you which is unclean? And so they had to pause. And I guess this came to mind yesterday because I found myself in a situation with someone who was casting judgment on a situation in which he hadn't been firsthand informed. In other words, he'd used third-party information, made a judgment, gone into what I would have to call a rant of accusations, and yet all of his information was based on third-party information. Those who are among you, cast ye the first stone if you're without sin. And I thought to myself, wow, just observing that. And then this individual, they went on the internet to find information that supported what they were thinking. And this particular individual is very good with numbers. You know, this business person can add up, take away very well. However, they didn't understand about judgment. And the way that the brain works is that when you make a judgment, your brain always wants to be right. Okay? It's called a state of cognitive dissonance because it feels uncomfortable. You have a belief, and so your brain wants to find evidence of that to support your belief. That's just how we're built. And so he went to the internet to find evidence of that to match his belief so that he can then feel comfortable. But he wasn't aware consciously that that is how we operate. And so for the other individual who was in opposition of that view, they also were able to find evidence, you see, that supported their viewpoint. And so who's right and who's wrong? Both individuals are finding evidence to support their viewpoint. And so as I witnessed this, I could see the potential altercation that was inevitable because of the two minds clashing. I was able to step away because I understood what was going on here. But it just made me think how quick people are to jump to conclusions when they haven't even been fully informed firsthand, at least be informed firsthand before you make a judgment. How many people have been hurt by wrong accusations? And I say wrong accusations by saying false accusations, because I'm using the word wrong in a different context here. How many families have been destroyed because of false accusations? Because a person hasn't got the full picture. I remember many years ago, I first discovered one of my most favorite books by a book called Loving What Is by Byron Katie. What an amazing book. I think I've actually read it about three times. It's scribbled, it's underlined. It blew my mind. And in the book, she clearly demonstrates how different perspectives can cause arguments and separations in relationships, and how a particular belief, when acted upon, can cause devastation, but it can also cause you to unite. You see, just because you have a belief, it doesn't mean that it's true. I'll repeat that. Just because you have a belief, it doesn't mean it's true. And I'm sure that many have found this to be their experience. They've thought or imagined a situation to be a particular way, to only then receive more information and to then change their mind. To then have to apologize for the pain that they've caused. So I don't know what situation you're in right now, but you need to pause if you're in that particular situation. Pause and ask the questions that Byron Katie asked in her book. And so the first question that she asks is it true? And I love that question. Is it true? That's the first question. Is it true? Makes you think, doesn't it? Pause. Think. And then the second question is it, and here's the key word, absolutely true? In other words, is there a possibility that this thing or situation that you're viewing, that you're observing, is there a possibility that what you're believing about it isn't true? Is there a different perspective to this situation that perhaps you're not privy to? And the moment that you're able to say, well, okay, it's not absolutely true. There's always a chink in the armor. There's always a possibility that it could be a lie. In that moment, what you thought was true is no longer true. It's a lie, isn't it? Because if something's not absolutely true, then it's a lie. And then her third question is, how do you react to others when you believe that? How do you react to others when you believe that? Think about it. Apply that question to your situation right now, if there is one. Are you cold towards the other person? Do you push that person away? Are you open to hearing what they have to say? Do you gather people to form the same opinion as yourself? Are you distant from that individual or individuals or situation? Are you loving? Do you find yourself loving, giving? There's so many behaviors that can come out of a belief, right? So how do you react to others when you have that belief, when you believe that it's true? So that's the third question. And now the fourth question is this. do you behave when that belief is removed? When you don't no longer have that thought within yourself, that belief within yourself, how do you behave? Do you behave loving towards the person? Are you giving to that situation? Are you warm towards that situation? What happens? You see? Can you see how a belief are boundaries? Can you see how beliefs can imprison your mind? What you believe, what you think about determines your actions and determines your results. If you don't like your results, go back and deal with the belief. And then the fourth question is this. Based on what you've just observed, you've seen, when you do not have that belief, the fourth question is, do you wish to keep that belief? Or would you like to drop it? It's as simple as that. Do you want to keep the thought or do you want to drop it? You see, in the moment that you drop the thought, you've now opened up yourself to that which lies beyond your original perspective. Who are you when you drop that thought? See, you've now had two examples of who you are with the thought and who you are without the thought. So the choice presented to you, there's no right or wrong. Would you like to keep it or would you like to drop it? And oftentimes in people with situations that cause them pain when they're thinking a particular way, when they go through this exercise, they find themselves dropping the thought because it's not serving them. It's not serving them. So you can see how this is a very powerful exercise. You see, when you then replace the words, so you might say, it hurts me when John... breathes really hard or snores in bed. You know, I can't sleep at night. And then you say to yourself, well, actually, it's my thoughts about John snoring at night that are hurting me. You see, it's not John that's hurting you with his snoring. It's your thoughts about John snoring that's hurting you. And you have a choice. You can change your thoughts around that. You can change your perspective around that. You see? Because they're your thoughts. You see, it's very empowering when you realize that the world that you create around yourself is based on your thoughts. We co-create the world that we see. But I want you to hone in right now and see that it's your thoughts about the situation that's causing you pain. But if you change the way that you think, your reality changes. So you see how your beliefs can imprison you or they can free you. They can imprison you or they can free you. I'm sure you've met some people who are just like so stalwart, so stubborn, so fixed in their thinking. They just think that everything is one way. They're not keeping up with the times. They have beliefs, for example, you have to work hard to make your money. Maybe once upon a time that was true for them. But what about working smart for your money? You see, you could have that belief, right? If you believe that you have to work hard for your money, guess what? You're going to work hard for your money, right? Because, again, using cognitive dissonance, your brain wants to be right. It's going to go out there and it's going to support that belief. It's going to give you evidence of what you are believing. But if you're another individual that believes that you can work smart for your money, again, cognitive dissonance kicks in. It's going to show you evidence of how you can work smart for your money. See, if you believe that you can, then you're right. If you believe that you cannot, then you are also right. So, out of those two beliefs, which one do you choose? It's all about choice, isn't it? Which belief pleases you? Which one's going to give you the most pleasure? And when one can stand back and observe not just your own action, but other people's actions, and you can hear the belief pattern in their mind, you can actually help them to actually hold up the mirror and say, look at how this belief is causing you to behave in this way. And so I spoke to someone yesterday and they said to me, Valerie, he said, all my life, my dad taught me, you must work hard for your money. And I've always worked hard for what I have. And so his argument, if you want to use it that way, was based from this very fixed belief that you must work hard for your money. And the other one's behavior was based from the fact that he once thought that, but now he believes that you can work smart for your money. And there was this clash that I observed. What do I personally believe? I believe that, like yourself, we are unlimited beings. We're not human beings that sometimes have a spiritual experience. No, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, a human experience. And so therefore, as unlimited beings, as a spiritual beings, I tend to look at things from the spiritual perspective because I'm a spiritual being, right? And when I think about the word, when God said, let there be light, let there be. Yes, it says on the seventh day he rested, he created the world. However, was it hard work for God? Did he roll up his sleeves? He doesn't have hands, right? He's a spiritual being, you know, get stuck into the earth and start working hard and moving the sand. No, he said, let there be. And there was light. When you look at nature, is it hard for when you see the plants effortlessly growing from the ground? When you look at nature, and how God beautifully orchestrated, you know, the trees and the seas and the flow and the ebb and this beautifully orchestrated tapestry of a universe, lavish, abundant beauty. When you think about the way that God created our bodies, the way that our vessels are intertwined and the way our body speaks to this cell, to that cell, and the intricacies of it. I don't label God or higher intelligence or whatever name that you ascribe to that superpower as a God that works hard. I see a God that works intelligently. I see an intelligent God. And another word for intelligent is smart. So I see it that God wants us to work smart, not hard. Smart, not hard. And there are many individuals on this planet who are working smart. They've tapped into that energy around us. And they've just made a declaration. I wish to work smart for my money. And the way that cognitive dissonance works, because that is their belief. See, a belief is nothing more than a thought that you have said yes to. The nature has to bend itself to match that belief that you've put out there. So are you working smart today, or are you working harder? What judgments are you making today? I want you to pause and reflect. Hold yourself accountable for the world, the reality that you have created around you. Look at your relationships around you, not just your romantic relationships. The type of people that you attract into your world, whether it's business relationships, personal, i.e. friends type of relationships, romantic relationships, you attracted them into your world based on your beliefs. And if you do not like what you are seeing, all you need to do is to go back and change your beliefs. Your beliefs will determine your actions, and your actions determine your results. And it really is very simple, isn't it? It's very simple. If you want different, think different. If you want different, think different. Be the difference. Now, I've written a book called The Difference. To know the difference is to be free. By myself, Valerie A. Campbell. It's available on Amazon. You can go and purchase your copy. It's based on a deep, beautiful revelation that I received in a moment of stillness, where I believe that I connected to all of that which is around me, where I found myself still. You know, the word says, be still and know that I am God. And in that stillness, be still and know that I am God, I received a revelation, and it's put into that book. I've poured it into the book called The Difference. So get your copy. And when you read the book, I would love for you to give me a review on Amazon. I'm Valerie A. Campbell, and it is my intention to renew your mind.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Money Making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.